And a good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, proudly brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank that you need. My guest today joins me live on via the internet. Kareem, let me just make sure that you are there. Kareem, good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon, Ron. How are you doing? Benjamin Lankler?
Yes, we loud and clear. Kareem, thank you so much for joining us right here on Youth Unplugged. We have so much to talk about. Boy, because let me tell you, I'm officially afraid of you. Just reading your resume and realizing how high up there you are. But we'll get to that in the right time. Kareem, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
All right, firstly, good afternoon, listeners. Hope you're doing well. I'm Kareem Sifle. I've been practicing Shotokan Karate since 1994, and I'm a third-degree black belt in the style. And currently, most recently, I participated in the historic Tokyo 2021 Olympic qualifying event for karate. And unfortunately, I'm not in Japan right now. I didn't make it, but I'm back on the ground in St. Lucia. I'm preparing myself to get myself ready for the next set of international events. So, and my passion is for more of training the youth to make them follow the path of karate that can assist them in other areas of their desires.
Now, I'm glad that that's the direction you took it, because that is literally the direction I want to go with the interview for the next 17 minutes. Let's start from the beginning. How were you first introduced to karate?
I'm always a fan of the martial arts. When I used to see from the TV, the shows like Karate Kid, Power Rangers, all these things, I was like, well, I really wanted to get involved with that and learn all the fancy stuff I saw. But when I started, when my dad brought me into this, introduced me to this guy, Sensei Victor Dudley, he said, no, he's going to teach me karate. At first, I was expecting, when we get to the point of doing some of these backflips, 360-degree kicks, but then it took me to a process of, the real fundamentals, the basics, and really understanding the true aspects of traditional karate. And it's something I grew interested in learning of, how everything evolved, and now understanding how each of these basic techniques can bring you to the next level of doing some of the fancy stuff you see on TV to some extent. And also taught me leadership skills, because no matter what is your age group, once you moved up in the colored ranks, it taught you how to become a leader inside the school, or like we say in karate terms, the dojo. So at times when I was 15 years old, carrying a green belt out, I was the most senior person in that class for that particular day. I'll be the ones who lead the class in some form of either a drill or exercise or even the entire class. So that was something that Within going along karate, I always encourage the students that even though if I may show up late for some unfortunate reason, that no matter your age, once you carry the rank of the next senior student, you are to take the class. So these things that it passes down to the younger ones, that don't look at age as a yardstick for leadership, but more of your attributes and what you carry and bring to the table.
That's pretty amazing, and I guess you have also carried that same discipline into other areas of your life. When you were probably, what secondary school you go to? Because I have to ask everybody on that. Very fundamental.
SMC.
And when you say SMC, I have got to ask you the next best question. What house?
St. Mary's College.
What house?
Abercrombie.
Yeah, Blue House. All right. Yeah. So at St. Mary's College, what direction you thought your life would have taken, and especially based on the classes that you took? What did everyone expect you to do?
Well, everyone expected me to be in some form of business, either in accounting or IT related. And that's something I always said, okay, I was good at it, but my deepest passion was actually in the form of sports and physical education to an extent. So even though I proceeded through A-levels to do economics and management and went on to do my advanced studies in Oklahoma and Nebraska and getting a a bachelor's in finance and a master's in economics. Deep down, I still had the passion for sports and some form of health. So that's what I always maintain, getting involved in karate to help me along my healthy lifestyle journey, as well as reading and researching all of the ways of incorporating a healthy lifestyle in one, no matter what part, no matter what other aspects you do in your life, whether it's business or some other sporting disciplines, because karate always provides a foundation for me, as well as other people who have taught and how it supported their journey. So not to digress, like even like during in early 2015, you know, I was on the bigger side, probably 230 pounds, and when I spoke to the fitness instructor, he was like, you know what, I'm interested in taking part in the bodybuilding show and the physique part. He was like, Karim, you sure you're ready for that? These guys are really lean. So it took me to a journey of like the discipline in and helping in the mindset of saying that no matter what you want to achieve, you can go ahead and pursue it. So there's one thing that karate have always instilled in me, is to learn the patience, the discipline, and the drive to achieve whatever you want in life.
Now, karate is not as simple as people may think. Easy, you're going to knock somebody, you're going to kick blocks, you're going to break this, you're going to break that. Of course, it teaches you a lot of patience. And it is truly a sport, and not only just a sport. It is a sport that pushes you mentally and also physically. Now, to balance all this already, pressure, so to say, physical pressure and mental pressure through the sport, and then balance having a master's, a bachelor's, even your regular schooling. How are you able to do that? Because, I mean, you are a third degree black belt, and I know a little small thing, you know, after this, what's next? I mean, I'm not even sure what's next. But how are you able to balance all of this, and especially through karate?
Well, through my experience, because when I started, I was in Form 2, so I went through the likes of going through CXC, and when I went through A-level, you're also going through the Cambridge A-level examinations. So part of that was, and contrary to what other people believe, that, and that is one of the challenges we still face today, especially if karate, that when the students reach like grade 6, or back in my days when you say standard 4 or Form 5, they quickly being pulled out by the parents to say, you know, they don't want the child to be distracted. However, with my colleagues and I, the other instructors, we try to encourage them that, you know, it does support their level of studies, because when they say, okay, you have an exam coming up, sometimes it may not go the full extreme to get really exhausted, but it clears your mind in terms of, okay, focusing on something else, clear your mind on your normal day-to-day, whatever you studied or how you go to approach the examination or trying to remember what is done. And it's a way of just clearing your mind off. So when you get back home, you freshen up, you have your dinner or late lunch, whatever you call it, and you just get back to sitting down and refocus on your studies. And that's what, from my personal experience, that it has helped me. And even going through university, unfortunately, I was not able to continue the formal training. However, I was still able to engage in the daily physical activities, at least dedicate at least 1 hour to either practicing my karate on my own or be in the weight room. And things like that just helped me clear my mind of my school studies for an hour. Now we've seen that more athletes are talking about the mental break, and karate has been helping that in terms of that mental break, the mental clearance to refocus and get back on what you want to do.
Now, in 2003, I think it was, that's when you went off to study. You had to take a break. What was it like moving back into the formal aspect of that? Was it difficult to readjust?
Surprisingly, no. Physically, there's something called muscle memory that I learned. So when I put on my and picked up my brown belt, because that's where I left at. I left at, in 2003, I stopped out as a brown belt. That's the stage before black belt. And everything just came back as, like, it never left. But when I returned in 2012, I had no intentions of competing. I said that, you know what, I'm done studying. I see there's a need to bring the youth along the right path. And I said, this is one way of me contributing back to society. So when I came in, I was like, I showed up to my old school, and I surprised my senior instructor. I took the students along, reintroducing myself and letting them know why I'm there and my purpose. And in 2016, I was approached by other colleagues to say, no, Karim, we would like you to also lend your administrative skills to beefing up the federation, the National Federation, in advancing the karate movement. And so I, without reservations, lend my services in that department. And as we proceeded, you know, we started seeing other opportunities coming in from international organizations to participate in international competitions. And however, most of the international competitions were senior-based, and we had a void in terms of a pool of senior athletes. So I was like, Karim, do you think you can shake off some of that rust and get back into competitive stuff? At the time, I was like, I don't think I'm ready. But I said, you know what, I welcome that challenge. And from then, I was like, now trying to balance my work life, my karate instructing life, at karate administrative, and now the karate competitive side. So I was wearing almost four different hats at the same time.
That's pretty amazing. Now, let's talk about competitive karate, because from what I understand and from my own personal observation, it's not necessarily, do you necessarily have to go to combat, hand-to-hand combat, or is it just the form and factors when you're doing your katas? Did I say that right? Katas, right? I said it right.
There are two aspects. Yeah, katas, yeah. Right. Yeah, they're actually, let's say, two main components of the competitive aspect. There's the katas, which for the listeners tuning in, would be like the routines or the forms, and the kumite, which is like the seemingly exciting part, which is the one-on-one contact sparring. And the contact sparring is not to the way points are scored, or through control contact. So not if you won't get a point if you you land a kick to a guy's face and he's knocked out of the competition or anything of that aspect, compared to like a full contact sport like MMA or boxing. So it's more now you exhibiting your speed, control, and power on an opponent to score the point.
Can you even get hurt from doing the kumite? Like, legitimately, if it's just about more about form and everything, can you legitimately get hurt?
You're saying the kumite, yeah, there have been some few instances where people have gotten injured and unfortunate, but more and more measures were put in place to reduce the level of injuries in the international competition. So certain techniques were removed. Judges were saying that, okay, especially with the youth, that no kicking was allowed to the face, because it's not to create an environment of longevity of the athletes and as well as the sport. However, in the routines, which is the katas, the only way someone can probably get injured is if probably there's a misstep or there's something in the surface that caused them to move, but that rarely happens.
Yeah, because but one thing I personally can see, I love to see when people are doing katas. It's like almost dancing. I guess that's why I never took on karate, because I've got two left feet and I'll probably embarrass myself by trying to do anything like that. Let's talk, why was it Shotokan karate? Why didn't you take taekwondo, mixed martial art, the other mixed martial arts, capoeira? Why that specific branch of karate or martial arts, so to say?
By the time I got introduced, I wasn't really studying the different types of styles. I was just told my father, you know what, I want to do some form of karate, and I guess the guy he met, and you know, so it's like, as this goes along, it was just that natural click saying that, you know what, I really like that style. It's a slower pace and allows you to really understand the stuff that you're doing. Granted, the other forms of martial arts, yeah, they're more seemingly exciting to the regular viewers, like you say, the taekwondo, where they perform the high aerial kicks and exhibit their flexibility. And it's all of these martial arts do have something to offer, but they all fall on the premise on the discipline and the character building of the participant. So even as an extreme sport as mixed martial arts, there are certain aspects that, you know, the fighter must be self-disciplined, show sportsmanship, and for those who are even watching the sport or following, there are times where you have certain athletes are being banned or fined for exhibiting things that go against the principles of martial arts. So regardless of the style, they all fall on the core values of one's character.
Let's talk about the road to Tokyo and what preparations are made for that. Yes, it's kind of disappointing, I guess, even for you too, that you weren't able to make it to the Olympics. But let's talk about that experience and what it meant for you. What did you learn? Are you going to take part again? Let's talk.
Yeah, that was an eye-opening experience. That for one, it was my first international competition in means of international, in terms of going against competitors from the European, the Asian, and the African circuit. Because prior to that, I competed at the Caribbean and the Pan American level, and it was a bittersweet moment, in terms of that. Okay, I got that kind of exposure. But the level of preparation, there's, you know, as we all know, through the COVID pandemic, it has set me back a couple of years in terms of it's different training by yourself versus training in the formal setting with your sparring partners to, you know, keep you on your toes and improve your skills. Nonetheless, I did welcome the experience, and it was an eye opener, and there were a lot of things, even like from preparations of the athletes, how the teams and how the coaches are, you know, just the image and how they are with them along the way, in things that we can bring back to our young institution karatekas to get them prepared. So that has given me a further drive now, because the next competition, it will be the World Karate Federation World Championships that is set to take place in Dubai in November 16th to 21st. So currently, after my I took some time off just to take just to relax myself mentally, reflect, and now refocus, and I'm back on my training regimen to get me prepared for the World Championships. And this time I feel more confident of improving my performance, and hoping that I have a wider contingent to support me, a wider contingent of coaches and athletes to support each other in that upcoming tournament.
That's pretty amazing. What is there a specific way that you prep for it? Do you have, I wake up at 6, I go and do my katas, I do this, I do that. Just talk us through the whole preparation of you know, getting ready for a huge competition on that world stage.
So my level of preparation, my regular training day, sometimes I train twice a day, like in the or sometimes even three times a day, like in the early mornings, I'll get up to do some form of yoga as a means of mind relaxation and work on my flexibility to get my day started. Because, you know, like I have an office job where I sit down, and you know, when you sit down for long, it tends to tighten certain parts of your, like your hamstrings, to kind of hinder your flexibility. So that's part one of my morning routines. And on some days, I go to the weight room and after work to get my strength training, and later in the evening go off to one of my colleagues' schools, such as Anthony Leos, who has Cobra Fitness, to help me out with the karate drills and holding on my skills. And on some Saturdays, I have the national squad training with the Federation's head coach, Sensei Michael Wellington, and the team of other national squad athletes, where we get also high intense training. So really and truly, sometimes I work and prepare around the clock, and probably just have probably 1 or 2 days just for rest and relaxation. So it's really intense, and this is what when you look at what the other athletes are doing across the globe, sometimes it's as intense as that.
Now, you know, as a human being, you sometimes you probably watch somebody on the international stage, and you know, I don't use the word jealous, but you know, you feel intimidated. But sometimes, have you ever watched somebody else perform their katas or, you know, the kumite or whatever, and you've probably tried to figure out how you can better your form or your personal, like, your personal performance when it comes down to doing your stuff?
Well, looking at these international competitors, when you look at the types of techniques they perform and how they do it, all the other athletes are capable of doing such, and it all boils down to on the day of competition, on how your mind is prepared and how you psych yourself up, or how you try, you know, to get mentally zoned out or burnt or nervous to affect everything. Because that was in my preparations for my recent competition, like, yes, I felt really confident saying that I got this, and when it came to the day of competition, like the nerves just had the best of me. Like, I was feeling thirsty, like, almost every 5 seconds, literally. And it's something that goes away after more experience with international competition. So that's one of the key things of actually improving in at that high level, is to participate in more and more, because your mind and your body gets used to that type of environment.
Now, we've spoken a lot about...
So, in terms of our physical...
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying, so at the end of the day, we're all capable of competing, getting there at the highest level, but it's experience and our mental preparation that will get us over that hurdle.
Yeah, now, so I was saying, you've done so much, and we've spoken so much about karate. Let's talk about your professional life. You already have your master's, so of course, the next thing... is Dr. Karim Sifley. Any plans on that?
I did consider in my early stages a PhD. I was accepted into Jackson State University in Mississippi. That was back in 2011, prior to finishing of my master's. By the time, I felt like there was a little burnout hurdle where I said, you know what, I need to just take a break and get some corporate experience. So when I returned in 2012, most of my jobs were within the financial analyst realm, in terms of using a lot of data embedded in the company's databases and transposed it into meaningful information. So I served as a financial analyst for companies such as JQ Charles Limited, Unicoma, Winwood and Leroy-Bury, and now currently I'm at Slasper in that capacity. So it has provided me, you know, my background and everything has provided me to adapt to different aspects of the commercial side. And as for the next step in education, I'm not too sure about the PhD as yet, but I do look at other accounting certifications.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, the PhD is still on the table.
Yeah, well, at least it's still on the table, and that's the most important thing. Now, Karim, of course, we're just about winding down our interview. We have just about 6 minutes left. So the final stage of the interview, we'd like to encourage young people to go after their dreams, and especially from your experience balancing all this technical and analytical part of your life, and also now a karate, well, not now, but just throughout your entire life, what would you encourage young people to do, especially for young people who are probably confused and not sure what they should do?
Well, first I'll tell the young ones to, whatever dreams they have, go after it. A lot of people tend to say, oh, you should go down that path, this path doesn't bring any success. However, through what I've been through, what I tell the young ones is, no matter what ambitions you have, just go for it. You can welcome advice from others, but at the end, deep down, is what do you want and what do you want to do to achieve it. But at the end of it, I was implored to keep some form of physical activity to maintain your healthy and mental balance as you aspire to your dreams and ambitions. So for the young ones, I would tell them, no matter what it is, don't let people influence you otherwise. Welcome their feedback, have an open mind, but still focus on what do you want, and whatever hurdles you come along the way, take it as learning lessons moving forward.
And again, you said something earlier in the interview, so I want you to address the parents listening now who have a tendency to take their children out of sporting activities when it comes on to exams and stuff. I want you to scold them. I'll give you the chance to do that now.
Never scold them, but just to say that, yes, we understand the academic pressures of when one's doing any exams, whether it's end of term, common entrance, CXC, you name it. But from personal experience and other colleagues, we can attest to that the child or the student should always engage in some form of physical activity, because it's actually proven and there's actually scientific research that validates that these things helps people and even children be able to take a mental break and refocus and re-strategize on their studies. So when it's called, when it's standard, grade 6, so I keep on saying standard 4, that's a show.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
From 5,
I still don't know.
That, you know, no matter what, they should always maintain that. So you shouldn't be pulled away. However, they can reduce the level of intensity at the training, but just showing up creates that whole different spectrum for them to get back to their studies. So parents, don't pull them out.
Karim, I don't know if you want to give people your Instagram handles or any way that they could get in contact with you, especially anybody wanted to probably have their child join a karate or even lend their own services and time to help in the karate movement in St. Lucia. I'm not sure if you want to do that at this point.
Sure, I will certainly do that. On Facebook, my name is Karim Sifle, K-A-R-I-M, Sifle, S-I-F-F-L-E-T. And on Instagram, the handle is at Karim Sifle, one word. And you should find me. My pages is very much public, and I do try to respond to messages as quick as I can. And I also serve as secretary of the federation, so I can also provide information on other schools or dojos that may be closer to your geographic location. And like I said, that I'm there to see the progress of not only karate as a discipline in St. Lucia, but on the youth on the whole.
Karim, thank you so much for taking this time, and we wish you the best of luck as you prep for the world
World Championships. That's in Dubai.
In Dubai. Now, trust me, if I was going to Dubai, I wouldn't be focusing on my sport. I'd be focusing on visiting some of the sites all around. Yeah. So, a personal favor, take some really cool pictures for me. Thank you. That's a personal favor that I'm requesting.
I'll try.
Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I wish you all the best in karate in St. Lucia. Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.